And when I say heavy, I mean it's important. And, you know, when we come to the Lord, the Word says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I'll come and I'll live with him and I'll sup with him. It says, no man comes to God unless he's drawn by the Father. So we know that the Father draws us. We know that we accept Christ. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe it on him would not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. If you look at verse 15 and 16, you have everlasting and eternal life. And we have abundant life. The Word says that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. So the Satan, the enemy, the devil, the liar, comes to but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you would have life. And not only that you would have life, it's Zoe life, which is life as God has it, or the God kind of life, or God life, and that we would have it abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. So that's what the Word tells us about that. But the Word also tells us that we know that we live this life by faith. And he says, and the word of faith is near you. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. So, in other words, faith involves our opening our mouths. Faith involves our not just thinking it. You know, if you just think something, that's called mental assent. You know, there's a lot of people who say they believe in God, but nobody has any idea who that God is. I mean, we know who our God is, right? It's Jehovah God. We know the stories. We know the history. But there's lots of people who goes, yeah, I believe in a God, or I believe in some supreme being, or I believe in that, but they don't have any idea who that is. And that's a shame, because the bottom line is they don't know God. And but the word of faith is near us. It's in our mouth, and it's in our heart. If it's in our heart, it has to come out of our mouth. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And when we're whining and complaining and moaning and groaning and spewing out stuff that isn't faith, it doesn't line up with the word, and then our words may not be pleasing, because we're not speaking what it is that God has spoken over our lives, right? God has said, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? So we know that the Bible says that we get started that way. All of us start in the same place. We start in the same place that we give our heart to Jesus and we become a Christian. That gives us eternal life, and now we're not going to die and go to hell. When we breathe our last breath in this tent, we're going to live forever, and we're going to live forever with him. However, the Bible says that he is faithful to complete the work that he began in us. In other words, he didn't just save us to save us. He didn't just save us so we wouldn't die and go to hell. He saved us for a purpose, for a reason. There's something for us to do. And you know, each of us are uniquely enabled to do what it is that God's called us to do. In other words, you guys in your jobs and what you do, you're able to touch people where you are that I can't touch. Because I'm not in those circles, and I don't have those relationships. You do. There are people that I know that you can't really get to, because I know them. They're in my realm of influence. They're in my circle. That's who God sent me to. But we all have to take our place. But not only do we have to take our place, we have to forever be aware of how our testimony is coming across to other people. We have to always be aware of when people see us, what is it do they see? So then what happens is people come to God and they go, okay, okay, well, I understand that. And I want to do something for God. And I want to be a good witness. But where do I start? Where do I start? Now, listen, I'm going to go a little different direction with this today, because we've talked about that we speak with God has spoke the world into existence. He said, light be, and there was light. We know that God created with words. We know we create with words. We know that we should, the Bible says, the word of God is living, active, Hebrews 4:12, sharper than a two-edged, two-mouthed sword, means my word should be confessing what his word says about me. And Mark chapter 11, it says, and if you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, you shall have whatever it is that you sayeth. So three or four times in that one verse it says say, and one time it says believe. So I think that shows us the importance of our making sure that we speak what it is that we believe. With words we create. Words are capsules. Words are seeds. If you tell somebody that you're going to be pregnant before you're 16, they probably will be, because that's what you continue to speak into their life. If you tell them you're going to be in jail before you're 18, lots of times they just self-fulfill that prophecy. If you tell them they're no good and they're worthless and they're just like they're worthless whoever and all that, hey, you know what? You can't do that. You can't speak that into people. And you know what? People, and we say kids in particular, but everybody that's cursing their life, and you're speaking curses over, you're never going to amount to anything. You're going to be just like this person over here, that person over there, who you also consider to be worthless. Well, listen, that's cursing. And the Bible says that we can bless and curse with our mouth, but that blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same place. So we should be speaking words that bless. We should be speaking words that are faith-filled. So, but let's get back to this thing with that being said, because you know what? We think we do a pretty good job with that, right? We think we speak faith. We correct each other. This morning, Kim was saying something about my shoulder, and because I've been receiving my healing on that thing for a while, and you know, there's some stuff that I take, I mix up this stuff, and it's supposed to, you know, increase healing and all of that type of thing, and so Kim was saying something, and then Courtney goes, now what? And I go, oh, she's cursing me. And she goes, no, I'm not cursing you. But you know what? We check each other with that type of stuff, right? I'm sick as a dog. Okay, if that's your confession, I agree together with you, whatever. Well, we'll check each other with stuff like that, and we think we're doing a pretty good job. We'll pray over our meals, and we'll have faith, and when the bills come in, we'll say, you know what, Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. You said you'd meet all my need according to your riches in glory, and I don't necessarily know how, I just know you are. You know, we'll speak faith over that thing. But, you know, sometimes, even trying to talk about the good things of God, we still don't line up, and we say things over our life that just isn't true, and I've caught myself doing that. And I know that if I do that, as careful as I try to be about my words, then I think that maybe there are others that do it. And the Lord put this on my heart really strong. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, and yes, I want to go to verse 11, which I quote a lot, and now I went to 39. Are you there? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So, here's where I want to go with this today. God has great plans for you. God has great plans for me. We don't have to accept the things that come into our life as this is the way it has to be because that's the way it's always been. We don't have to accept things that come into our lives that aren't necessarily a part of where we want to go. We need to take a look at them as, hey, maybe this is just a brief little tour of somewhere that I really didn't want to go, but I know the plans that God has towards me, says the Lord, and they're plans to give me a future and plans to give me a hope. So God's got great things in store for those that believe that he has great things in store. See, we'll believe that he heals. We'll believe that he blesses. We'll believe that he prospers. We'll believe all of that. But sometimes when it gets to the plans of the Lord, we may say some things that really don't line up with what it is the Word says. And this is what was brought to my attention this week and in my prayer times and as I was going through the Word. See, here's what we need to know. God's plan for our life is always good. That's just the way his word says it. It doesn't say anything different than that. God's plan for our life is always good. Now, I read this one. It says, I know my thoughts. First of all, here's what you need to understand in case you didn't. God wants you to know that he's thinking about you. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, which means he's thinking about you. And he's a big God. He's thinking about me. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about a lot of people. And he says, and here's the thoughts. Here's what I've been thinking about you. That I'm thinking thoughts of peace. That's important because we're going to come back to that. Thoughts of peace. Peace should be our compass. Right? In other words, if I'm thinking about doing something and I don't have peace about it, guess what? Don't do it. If you're thinking about doing something, and I don't care where the pressure's coming from. It could be self-imposed pressure. It could be, well, if I don't do this, they're going to get mad at me. Well, they're going to get mad whether you do or don't. Because anybody that's not going to accept your decision on something, right? And sometimes there's people that expect things from us that aren't realistic expectations, and the reason they expect it is because they want to manipulate us. They want to manipulate us to get us to do whatever it is they want to do. Well, listen, I'm not accountable to them. I'm accountable to God. I'm not accountable to those that just feel like this is what I ought to do. See, let me give you an example, because we talked about this in the last couple weeks. I told you about Creflo Dollar and his expensive car that the people from his church bought him. He's a blessed man. Financially blessed. All right? Now, he gets interviewed by this national TV correspondent who says, you know, that car is worth $750,000. What are you doing driving that around? Don't you know how much good you could do if you sold that and gave that to the poor? Well, first of all, the person interviewing him has no idea what he's sown to get what he's received in his life. Do you know how many planes and cars and houses and motorcycles and how much money that Creflo Dollar has sowed in to other people and other ministries and just whoever God told him to sow into? I don't know all of it. But see, that's none of my business. That's between him and God. That's somebody that's jealous that He has the ability to do that. Have you ever heard anybody go, so let's forget Christianity as it refers to that. But have you ever heard anybody go into, like, I wonder if anybody has ever been to Queen Elizabeth and goes, look at this mansion. Look at all the properties that the royalty own. You close down the streets for a wedding, and you shut down the town for a wedding, and you know, the world is yours. You can go, but have you ever heard anybody insinuate that the queen sells everything she has and lives like a pauper or like the average people of that country because that's what they ought to do? Never heard anybody. I've never heard anybody say that about people in positions like that. I've never heard anybody say, you know, Obama's a very wealthy man. I believe he ought to sell everything that he has and give it away. I never heard that, Reagan or any of the rest of them. You know, but it's amazing that Christian people, that's what they should do. And then Creflo turned around and said, okay, if we're looking apples at apples, what kind of car do you drive? And the guy looks at him like, what's that got to do with anything? And he said that. And Creflo goes, has everything to do with everything. What kind of car do you drive? And it was like a Toyota or something, whatever. And he goes, well, why don't you sell that? Do you know how much good you can do with that? In other words, it's relative. And but see, what this guy was trying to do was to manipulate him and try to get him off course from what it is that God had told him to do. Because here's the deal. God says if you sow, you're going to reap. So just by God's word being true, that was going to happen in his life. But people don't like that. They don't want to see a Christian person prosper. They definitely don't want to see a pastor prosper because that doesn't line up with all the untruth that they've been taught. And they believe that if anybody walks strongly in the Spirit, then they've got to be doing something wrong. Just like if you've prospered, you've got to be doing something wrong, because I know some people that think that anybody that has money is a crook because there ain't no way you can get that legally. Well, there definitely is. How about, do you know that you could be a janitor and God could still bless you financially way beyond whatever you made as a janitor? And there's nothing wrong with being a janitor, but it's not about my monthly salary. It's about my sowing and my reaping. I've seen people win the lottery that were janitors and went back to their job. They're probably one of the few 10% or 20% that didn't go broke after they won the lottery, because you know what? They didn't expire for big things. They understood that money didn't make them happy. Now that they've got it, they're secure. Their family after them will be secure. But it wasn't about the money for them anyhow. Because it's not money that's evil. It's the love of money that's evil. It's what our heart is about those things. But there's haters out there. There are people that if I believe in healing, they don't believe in healing. And you start talking about healing, they don't believe that God does it anymore. And God doesn't create, God doesn't perform miracles anymore. And guess what that does? Does that affect me one drop? Not one. Because you know what? I've seen God heal. I've experienced God heal. I've experienced God's miracles. So, but guess what? They won't. I don't go and tell them that because, you know, I don't want to be striking back at them and try to tell them something. But, you know, the bottom line is if they won't tell me that they don't believe in that and they're trying to chastise me because I do, they don't have to worry about getting healed. They won't. They don't believe it. You receive when you believed. They don't believe it. I hate to be a person that says, I don't believe that God does, or I don't believe that God can, or I believe that God doesn't heal anymore, and he doesn't perform miracles anymore, and he doesn't do any of that. I don't believe he intervenes in the affairs of man anymore. I tell you what, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's word. I don't know how you can read the word and get that. I don't know how you can read Jesus' words and get that, because it's not there. But people do.
So see, regardless of who you know, and regardless of what they believe, and it could be your mama. All right, listen, I ain't talking about nobody's mama. But it could be your mama. It could be your brother. It could be people within your family. It could be people at work. Right? I know people. I'm getting ahead of myself. So, have you ever heard that saying, always trying to hold a brother down? You ever heard that saying? Sometimes, in the kingdom of God, that's what people are doing. In other words, they'll say, here's how I think about them. They can't stand prosperity. And not only can they not stand prosperity, they can't stand for me to be prosperous. And they're trying to hold a brother down, but because they talk and believe that it will never happen for them, they want to make sure it doesn't happen for me either. But I'm not going to receive that. Because God said, I'm thinking about you. God said, I'm thinking about you, and I've got a plan for your life. Plan to have peace. Plans to have, to give you a future. And plans to give you hope. So if I say, well, you know what? God's never going to do that for me. Well, what kind of hope is that? That isn't hope. That's doubt and fear and unbelief. The opposite of faith is doubt and fear and unbelief. That's the opposite of faith. Faith says, yes, he can. See, here's the deal. The Bible says that when I came to Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And guess what? I am. So I want you to say that with me this morning. Say, I am. Okay, so you are. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have a right relationship with him, right? You have a right relationship with him. That's who you are. That's what you're about. I am. That's who I am. Okay? The other thing is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the bottom line is, there's nothing that when God's operating in my life that I can't do. So guess what? I can. So I want you to say that with me this morning. I can. Okay. So I am, and I can. And then he says, I know the thoughts that he's thinking about me that I think towards you. So he's thinking about us. Said the Lord, thoughts of peace. So he wants us to have peace. And the not evil. And to give me an expected end, and another version says a future and hope. So guess what? Not only is that who I am, and not only can I, but also what he says here, I will. So I want you to say that with me this morning. I will. I will have peace. I will have future. I will have a hope. I will not have evil in my life. I am. I can, and I will. Right? That's who we are. I am, I can, and I will. And I am going to do what God said I can do. And I am going to have what God says I can have. All of that is what God says. And everything that God gives, listen, is always good. But we don't talk like that lots of times. Sometimes we don't catch it. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. Anybody in here that God hasn't done great things in your life, raise your hand. That's what I thought. The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell them, they would be too many to declare. So some people can't even think about one good thing God's done for them this week. And God said, if you really were to think about it, there'd be too many to declare. Because every morning you woke up this side of the grass. Every morning you had a roof over your head. Every morning you put a little bit of food in your belly. Doesn't that almost look like we've got anorexia in here? We've all defeated anorexia. Praise the Lord. Pedro's looking a little thin back there. All right. but let me tell you something. We have defeated anorexia. likes it. Praise God. All right? So, I mean, God's good to us. God is good to us. He takes care of us. And if we really thought back of just every little thing that he's done for us every day, there'd be too many to recount. Because you know what? God only gives us good things. Genesis 50, verse 20 says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me." This is Joseph talking about his brothers. And when he saved his brothers, he said, "You meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." As in other words, what I went through was to get me to here so that I could save not only myself and be second in all the kingdom of Egypt, but that I could save my family and my family's heritage and inheritance. Isaiah 55, verse 12. "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Now listen, if God wanted to do that, he could do that. However, sometimes it's just our attitude about that. This morning I came in, I was singing a little bit, whistling a little bit, humming a little bit. And old Kelly, Kelly down the road, who's waiting on me every Sunday morning when we come in here, she goes, "You know what? My mom does that when she's happy." I go, "Well, I must be happy all the time because I hum like that all the time. I whistle like that all the time." He goes, "Yeah, she does that too." See? Exactly what I'm talking about. And you know, but that's what we do, and that's how it was kind of coming out of me this morning. And she goes, "Yeah, that's exactly what mom does." Okay, well, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't have to worry about the mountains and the rocks and the trees doing all that because it's coming out of us. But it's like the mountains and the trees and everything's all lined up. It's like that's what's going on, but yeah, I know, I've done kicked this all over the place. But that's what it does. Jeremiah 23:5 says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up," I tripped over the pumpkin last week. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the Lord." So here's where I want to go with this. When I say that he's got good plans for us, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it because we very strong word of faith people who watch our confession and we watch what we say go out and try to spiritualize some things that we say. And we're not saying things that line up with the Word of God whatsoever. Let me give you an example. We'll say, "You know how it is. If you decide," I'm guilty. "If you decide that you're going to step out and believe God, you might as well get ready. The enemy's going to come against you. He's going to attack you in your body. He's going to attack me in my..." I've said it. I've said, "Look, you know, I preached on healing today. Watch out for tomorrow. The enemy's going to try to attack my body." I've said that. But that's not what the Bible says. Because I'll come in and say, "Look, I'm trying to break down some walls. I'm trying to break down some barriers. The Lord your God is your healer. He wants to heal your body." And then I'll get all into this strong healing sermon, and I go, "Guess what? Tomorrow the enemy will come attack my body just as..." Because, you know, that's what happens. New levels, new devils. You know, if I decide to take a stance for God and move forward, you might as well just get ready. The fight is coming. And that is a part of it. But it's how we talk about it. It's what we say. Because that's not how God says it's going to be. physical healing. Or we'd say, you know how it is. We're talking about stepping out, and he's going to come against the finances because we need finances to move forward. So the very first thing that's going to happen is attack against the finances. You know, because that's what happens when you take a step in faith. And we're faith people when we say that. But that isn't Bible. That isn't Bible. Let me give you another example. Listen. There's nobody in the room that misses Dale and Pat any more than I do. Man, I love them. They were a blessing to me, and they were very helpful to me. Everybody up here that plays an instrument except Dylan, Dale actually taught us how to play. And we might be novices. We might be. But we need to quit running our mouth about that. And we need to come in here and have a professional attitude every week. Not that we're professionals, because we're not. But we can do the best we can do. And we can do it in a way that we have a right attitude about it. And we don't have to look at each other and just smile like, screw Dillo. Bleed up. Let's do it again. We don't need to do all that. We need to come in and we need to practice just like we would with anybody else. And we need to have a beginning and we need to have an end. And if you mess up, you don't say nothing. You stop right there and you catch in on the next key and you go. And you do it like you know, professionals every once in a while hit the wrong chord and hit the wrong key and hit the wrong whatever. But you'd never know it. You know why? Because unless you're a musician that hears that all the time, or unless it's you don't, nobody else really has caught it. And if we're in here worshiping and praising God and doing like we're supposed to, there's countries, third world countries, where when they come together, they don't have a guitar at all. They beat rocks when they come together. The good thing is we used to sing with CDs. Now we have people that come close to hitting the right chord and the right key and play them together and all that. But you know what? We need to quit. We need to quit talking about it like that, thinking about it like that, and doing what it is that we can do with all we've got for God. Because really, it isn't about us coming up here and being fantastic and entertaining y'all. Do you know church ain't entertainment? Church is where we come together and praise and worship God. So you shouldn't be thinking about that anyhow. Your mind should be on praise and worship. Now it helps when the music flows and we up here giggling to a beat. Now that helps. But let me tell you something. I've had the wrong attitude about it because I have been interviewing to get somebody to come and help us. I think that's important. And we're still on that path. But I will tell you this, I've not talked about it in the right way. We always can get better and be better and all that kind of stuff. But how do I talk about that? I'm not going to confess that mess anymore. I'm not going to confess that mess anymore that, you know, I could say, well, you know, we're smaller, and because we're smaller, we're limited. I've said things like that. People have said, well, how come you don't do this, and how come you don't do that? This would be the truth, but I don't need to be talking it. And I would say, well, you know what? We have some of the same people that are on the worship team that they get right off the stage, and then they go downstairs and teach a class. So some of these other things I don't do, because we're kind of limited with the workers, and I don't want to, you know, stress people out to the point where they're burnt out and don't want to come to work, you know, and don't want to come to church and do things, okay? So, but is there some truth to that? Yeah, there's some truth to that. We need also to have people who can teach other classes. And yes, that's going to come with growth. That's going to come with growth internally. It's going to come with growth as we bring people into the church and raise people up right. But even if they came in tomorrow and said, I taught Sunday school over there, they're not going to come teach Sunday school here. They might can down the road, but they're going to sit here for a while till I get to know who they are, what they're about, what they got going on in their life, where their heart is. And the Bible says to know them that labor among you. And one of the biggest mistakes that churches make is just go grab somebody and throw them in a position. It hurts that person, and it hurts the church. You don't do that. You know them that labor among you. So are some of these things that I'm saying, is that the way it is? Well, that's the way it's manifesting itself right now. But God says, I know the plans that I have towards you, plans for you to have peace and to have joy. Now listen, I've also been to the point where I'm like, you know what? I've had times through ministry where I've said, I tell you what, I'll just turn this thing over. I'll let somebody else do this. I'll go somewhere. Because you know what? When I go away, I preach at very large churches. I've preached at churches with 1,000. I've preached at churches regularly with 400 and 500. But that's not necessarily what I've been called to. I've told God whether I had one or whatever that I was going to go and preach. So let me tell you something. You can get so involved and so busy doing what you're doing that you can get close to getting burnt out. Now listen, here's where I'm going with this thing. When we go there, when we get to the point where we don't have peace, when we get to the point that our joy's been depleted, and you feel like you have to even work it up to crack a smile, and if you do, your face is going to disintegrate and fall out on the floor because you ain't smiled in so long, your face is stuck in that position, then you know what? We got issues. Peace and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me read a scripture to you. Matthew 11. I want you to turn there with me because this is a very important verse. I want you to notice that in Matthew 11, this is Jesus' words, and let's start in verse 29. So now I'm talking about the plans that God has for us. And then we'll go out and say, oh, well, I got this going on, I got that going on, groom spare, agony, I'll move toward for bad luck, and have no luck at all, groom spare. You know, sometimes, that's what they do right there, is they hiccup. They've been drinking, whoa! And so, sometimes that's what happens, but we don't even realize that we've been doing it because we're good. You know what, if you take a stand for God, it's going to be tough. You better get ready for it. You better face it down. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, as some suppose, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is in us. The kingdom of God's in us. So what should be a part of our life is righteousness. That's who we are. Peace and joy. If we're lacking peace and joy, something's wrong. That's who we are. And the Bible says not just any kind of joy. Joy unspeakable. That means that no matter what's going on, you can't be shaken and you still got joy. That's joy unspeakable. People go, you going through all that and you still got joy? Yeah, because God is God regardless of what I'm walking through right now. God's going to do for me what he said he's going to do for me regardless of what it is I'm walking through right now. What I'm going through, I might really be going through it. I might be in the middle of it, and that might be what I see, but that's not, just because that might be a fact doesn't mean that it's the truth. The truth is God has a great plan for my life and plans to do me good. And then people will go and say, well, you know what? If you take a stand for God, then all this stuff's going to happen. Well, look at Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's your soul? Your mind, will, intellect, and emotions. When you're getting all stressed out and you ain't got no joy and you ain't got no peace, where's all that going on? The only place that the enemy can get to you, in the soul, man, in the mind, will, intellect, and emotions. Because you know what? That bill comes in the mail and you go, oh my God, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get the money from? They'll take my stuff. They'll blah, 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 blah. Wow, that faith was just spewing out of you, wasn't it? And what happened to the joy? And what happened to the peace? He said, we'll find, if we'll give it to him, we'll find rest for ourselves. But not just that. Here's where people go, you decide you're going to do something for God. You decide you're going to do it. And then the Bible's coming. He says, look, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, does that sound tough, difficult, so bad that you don't even want to do it? I know you want to do good stuff for me, God, but that means I might have to fight a battle. And if I have to fight a battle, then, man, you know, I didn't fight all the battle. Lord, how many of you have ever been guilty of saying this? I have. I've said, Lord, I would pray for you to give me patience, but if I pray for patience, then I'm going to have circumstances and situations happen in my life to create patience. And the last thing I need is another situation or circumstance. Oh, my Lord. I think you have. You might not have said it that way, but you said it in your old Henderson, North Carolina way you say it. I can promise you. We're all guilty of this. We've all been there where we thought we were saying something spiritual, and it wasn't spiritual, and it isn't true. I've just read the scripture. He's got great plans. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And you know what? If we're taking this journey, and we're moving forward and doing what God tells us to do, and it's not enjoyable, if it's not fun, listen, if I got things going on in my mind, and not recently, but I've had this stuff in before, just when I've had attacks and stuff like that, where I've said, you know what, this mess ain't even worth it. Nobody's really with me anyhow, whatever, and, you know, I'm working to make it happen and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, you know, just let somebody else have it. I'll just move on to the wild blue yonder, do something else out there. Well, I go, you know, I didn't sign up for all this mess, and I've got that going on. Well, you know, how's that a joy? And really, if we're supposed to be a witness to the world, and the witness is looking at me, listen, if a witness is looking at me, and I got a bad attitude, do you think they're going to listen to what I say? If I'm not enjoying what I'm doing, and it's a drudgery, I'm going to go, well, you know, I'm about to give up myself, but you ought to just come on to Jesus, son. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to quit, but y'all go ahead. I mean, when we do that, what are we doing? Nobody on the outside wants to see that. They want to see us stand. They want to see us have peace and joy when the tough things are coming. Let me tell you something. It's an indicator of where we are when we're lacking peace and joy in our life, because that's the way it's supposed to be, because he said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If it's so tough that we can't hardly walk through it, we're talking negative, we can't talk word and all that, then we need to get a check and find out what in the world am I doing, because God said he has great plans for me. You know, I know for a fact, because I've been a little bit involved, Miss Judy's been walking through some stuff for like 3 or 4 years of some stuff that's just some tough stuff. But like in one day, 2 big major things were just bam, gone. After she'd dealt with them for 3 and 4 years, bam, just got 2 of them. She still got 1 big issue that she's working on, but there'll be other issues. But you know what? When you've had 3 or 4 major issues and they've been drug out for a long period of time, you're looking at the end of that tunnel. Is this stuff ever going to end? Is it ever going to? You know what? And then all of a sudden it just happens like in a matter of 24 hours. Everything's just fixed in that area. Then you're like, wow. So this one other thing I got going on, if he could take care of the 2 in a day, then guess what? It's probably just going to take a little bit of time, but he's promised me that's what he's going to do, and that's what I'm looking for him to do. Okay? So see, I've watched it happen. I watched it happen, but I've watched it happen in my life. So what would help me get my eyes off the obstacle? What would help me get my eyes off the plans that God has for me? See, God says He's got great plans, and if He's got great plans, listen. You know what? If I ever waited, now listen, I'm not telling you to be irresponsible. But if my wife and I waited until we could afford a child, we'd still be childless right now. She'd be Hannah. In the temple going, what are you talking about? Hey, if we could wait till we could afford a baby, or if we could wait till we could afford a house, right? I mean, we still can't afford a house. But God is God. God said it. He is who He is. And He's taking care of all that. We've always just stepped out. That's faith. Believing that God's going to take care of it. Not irresponsibly, but just trusting God. And the business every day coming here is trusting God. God just blesses me. But you know what? We've ever been to the point where we just threw hundreds of thousands of dollars in. You know there's churches that's sitting on $300,000 or $400,000. Their building's paid for. The church is paid for. They got like 50 people that go to the whole church. The average age is about 67. And they're sitting on like $400,000. What are you going to do with that? Sell it. The reason they ain't got younger people coming into the church is because they're hoarding that $400,000 for them to live on until the Lord comes or they die. What good is $400,000 doing stored up just in case? Might as well go to the shelter in case the bombs start dropping and we have $400,000 and we can just eat till it's gone. No, that's the way some people live, I'm telling you. Hoarding. That ain't trust. And if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, sow. If you sow, you're going to reap. Sow finances and believe God. If you're looking for a younger group of people, my massage therapist hasn't really been churched a lot. But she's gotten back in the church. And she used to ask me a lot of questions about the Bible and God and things like that. But she's gotten back in church. And the church that she goes to, her pastor, is a retired Marine Major Lieutenant Colonel, a lady. But the average age in that church is like 65, 67, something like that. She's the youngest one in there. She's not that old. But the average age, they don't have hardly any young people in that church. All those people's kids got married, moved out of town, don't go to church, whatever. So that pastor has this beautiful property downtown that they'd like to sell the property. She wants to sell the property and move the church and buy another piece of property and build something usable in off of South Florida somewhere, more towards Mulberry, where there's a younger group of people that might be attracted to coming to the church. She's doing everything she can do to draw new people. But them people ain't going to do that. This is our church. This is our building. If we sold this church, what do we have? Well, the church isn't a building. The church is the people. It's not a building. But they go, well, that person is a pillar of the church. Well, once again, I'll tell you that many times a pillar is just a big old something that nobody can move. And they got a bunch of pillars in that church. Listen. If where we are has affected our joy and our peace, here's your sign. Your sign is that if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then you've got to get a different outlook on it. If serving God has become a drudgery to you, it's not God. God said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. I'll stick closer to you than any brother. I'll do for you what needs to be done. I'll meet all your need according to my riches in glory. I know I'm thinking about you, he said. I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about you because I've got peace for you and not evil. I'm thinking about you because I got plans for you, great plans, good plans to do you good and to give you a future and to give you a hope. So where we are right now is no indicator of where we're going. Who we are right now is not an indicator of who we are, except that we're righteous. But God's doing a work. And you know what? It brings me back to Malachi chapter 3, when God started talking to them about withholding the tithe and withholding the offering, and that they had been cursed with the curse. And he says to them, "And your words have been stout against me." And they go, "When were our words stout against you?" They said, "Oh, we tried that tithing thing and it didn't work." Really? But we haven't just done that with tithe and offering. We've done it even in the good stuff. I see where God's taking me. And I'm stepping out in faith, bless God. But, you know, all hell is going to break loose against me today. Like hell has got more power than God. Do y'all know that the Bible says that he's a liar? And not just a liar, he's the father of all lies. The only way he can accomplish his purpose is by deception, which means that he can come to us who have truth in our life and try to talk us out of the truth. He did it to the woman in the garden. Right? "Oh, surely you won't die." She goes, "Yeah, right. That's a God of love, right? Give me one of them pieces of fruit." And then the man come along, she goes, "Look here, I done blowed it. You blow it too. Here, take, have some of this fruit right here." "Adam, where are you?" "I'm naked." "How do you know you're naked?" "Did you eat of that fruit I told you not to eat?" He goes, "No, that woman you put down here, man. Hey, she is just full of evil." And the woman goes, "That devil, he made me do it. Devil made me do it." That's Flip Wilson, right? "Devil made me do it." Listen, we need to take accountability, repent. You can say, "Well, what do I do about that I've said before?" You repent and say, "Father, I curse those words." You can curse them too, but, you know, repent for that too. But say, "Blankety blank, hear me, you're a liar." And God forgive me for that. I was just mad. No, I am not instructing you to do that. I am just kidding. But we can curse those words that we've said that don't line up with the word. And then we can say, "But here's what I'm going to speak from now on. Here's what I know is true. And I know that you plan to give me a future and a hope." 1 John 5:3 says this. He says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know, I'll speak to young girls and say, "Listen, you know, don't be giving yourself away to some guy that, you know." Well, even when my daughters were dating, I'd go, "No, that ain't going to happen." And they go, "Gosh, Dad, not every man is like you were when you were young." I want y'all to know, Christian or not Christian, they are. They are. There's God and there's hormones. And that's a tough thing. Right? So what do? You don't put yourself in a position where you have to worry about that. Right? And I tell them, I go, "The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Why would you even want to? Well, they're just nice and just somebody to hang out with." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If they're not a believer, you say, "Well, they believe." Well, where are they? Do they go to church? No, but they believe. What do they believe? God, whoever that is, we believe in him. And that's that's the God that they pray to when they're in trouble or to get what they want, that's the case. But why do you think that's in the Word? Don't be unequally yoked with another. They know, God knows, that it's going to become an issue in our lives about whether we serve God or not and whether we believe God or not. And you know, you can't have two people believing 200 different things thinking that you're going to get something good out of it. You know? Oh, I was just trying that on. Make sure everything fit right before we got together. All right. That's good. Well, ain't what the Word says. You know, we didn't have a bunch of diseases and stuff that we have in the world today if man would have done what God said. You read the Old Testament? What he told them to eat, what he told them to do, what he told them not to eat, all the stuff that he told them to do, some stuff that looks like stupid stuff. You know, he addresses women's monthly period in the Bible. All that stuff, he addresses all that. He addresses mold and mildew in the Bible. Why? Because even those little bitty things that maybe we don't think about too much, God cared about that because it's the best for us, right? Because he didn't want some of this stuff going on because he knows what's best for us. It's not burdensome. He's trying to help us out. He's trying to set us on the right way so we can have the ultimate in our life, so we can have the best in our life. That's what he wants us to have. Well, what if I've blown it before? Well, the Bible says that's all under the blood. Throw it in the sea of forgiveness. We start fresh today. So today we're accountable for what we know today. We don't have to go feeling bad about it. Hey, whatever, and you can't say, and don't say this. Listen, here's another one, because then you're taken away from God too. Well, I'll tell you what, I've just messed my life up. I don't know if I... Hey, no. That's what I'm talking about right there. He says, I'm thinking about you. I know the plans that I have towards you, and they're plans for peace, plans for joy, plans for a future and hope. If you've blown it, admit it, quit it, and then start saying what God says about you is that he has great plans in store. And don't say, all hell's going to break loose come Monday. I'll tell you right now. Because you know what? It will. You just spoke it into your life, but that's not what God says. If you say that, your words are stout against him. Amen? Well, that's the introduction. Y'all stand with me this morning. Praise God, we made it through the introduction. Next.